Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit.
Well, hello.
Hey, and, how's it going?
Good. This is good. The Phil and Bill Show. Nora's one of the cast of characters we have in the background. Well appreciated.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And Dr. Bill, and things are a little hectic right now. And, if you want to do something for him, just keep him in your prayers.
I always do. He's a good man. Oh, I wanted to let you know, thank you for rubbing it in and how your fair weather is compared to what I'm dealing with. You suck.
It's funny because it's in the 80s, 70, higher 70s, low 80s, all week, and it's 39 at night, 39, 37, wow. But... Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons I'm in the desert, one of the reasons I stayed here.
Well, of course, you know, your bones couldn't keep up with the cold anymore here.
Exactly. So.
That's okay. Not being rude or anything. I mean, some people just, that happens.
And, you know, it comes at all different times. I mean, we all have our struggles in life. And I have my share. Bill's got his share right now. I know some other people are doing a little worse off than I am. And go from there. All I can do is hold on.
I know.
Life's a hell of a ride.
It is. You know, what I want to talk about first, if it's okay, the rally. How did that go? From what I understood, everything came out well. And,
yeah.
Wow.
I know it did because I had a family emergency, and someone had died, and they had the funeral Saturday. And it kind of threw a monkey in the wrench, and I haven't had a chance to get a hold of people because I've been dealing with that and then going to work, and it's turned into, like I said, I had my few rough days.
Right. No, I had spoke with Art a little bit, and he told me what it was like for him being at the unification rally. Hopefully it does something because it is what it is. You got a tighter, tougher law taking place in California than what we do here. You know, not that we may not have a similarity in certain things, but, you know, it's a lot tougher for you there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I mean, you know, you have the damn helmet law. Now, the only thing I'm not sure of, if we have the lane splitting here, you know, like you do there, but, you know, it is what it is. But I was able to see some of the videos that were posted that people took in regards to people rolling down the highway, you know. I saw one where it was like 2,000 down. I'm like, wow, it was just an unbelievable thing. And for one day, everybody came together. Nothing
exactly.
took place. Nothing happened.
No.
But you were all there. But you know what I mean. Everyone was there for the same purpose, the sole purpose of the writer's rights, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what I
fought for when I was with Abate. You know, it's up to the writer. Don't have it up to the government. Because if it was in the government's hand, oh, Lord, we ain't even going there. That's a show all in itself. You know, but, you know, and it was good to see the video, the speeches, everyone together just
mm-hmm.
for the same purpose.
And you know the funny part?
Go ahead.
It's always something that gets everybody together. But why can't it be that way 7 days a week? 365 days a year.
Politics.
Exactly. And you know what fucks it up? Politics. Every time.
Yeah. I hit the head right on the nail. There we go. Yeah, like I said, it was just something that was it was unique, it was historic to a certain degree, and it was something to actually be proud of, where anybody that I spoke with, you know, they were just, you know, excited. It was unbelievable. Everything running through their head in regards to, for one day, hitting that Capitol and everyone there, and they stood shoulder to shoulder, and nothing happened. Nothing. Because they were there for their rights. You know, and as we know, and have you seen that video yet in regards to someone being stopped in Australia, and how many of the cops were swarming around this man, and he was by himself? It was insane what takes place there.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they all came for a unification right there? Wow.
Yeah, and can you imagine if that happens to me? And any given day of the week, either going to work or coming home or out riding around town.
I know. You get that all the time. And didn't you say you had that one particular piece of paper in a frame?
Yep.
So I have never heard of, until you had told the story with Bill.
About Homeland Security?
I never heard of anybody getting a ticket by Homeland Security.
Yep.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, now, you know, what is taking place in Australia as we know it, have you gotten any more information, like, from Ava or anything?
No. In fact, I tried to get a hold of her, and it's actually, like, dinner time there right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm on two different like pages, so I've been paying attention, keeping up. And, you know, they had a mild victory, you know, in regards with bail. But, you know, does it mean that it's going to happen with everyone? Probably not. But that little bit of hope is better than not having any hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody here was looking for hope and change, and I'm still waiting. But let's see what this... 650. Hello? Hello, 650.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Hey,
yep.
Bobby, I apologize, but we had a little issue in the family, and one of the members passed away, and I had to forego going up to the rally.
Yeah, I wonder where you were, but those things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, he went in for his dialysis, and then when he laid down to go to sleep, he never woke up.
Oh, sorry, but sorry to hear that. Condolences.
Thank you.
Hi, Bobby. How did you enjoy the unification?
It was quite a memorable event, I have to say. A lot of good energy there. So the question then is, you know, now that we have momentum, how to keep it going, right?
Right.
Not to lose, right? Stay focused. And what's
now,
next?
Now, how many times can you do the unification rally?
Well, I think hopefully that's a theme that I think is ongoing because, I mean, if you look at some of the grassroots politicians that are running outside the two-party system, you know, they're not looking to take on the conventional, you know, politics as usual. They're looking to leverage grassroots, and that's a whole another ballgame altogether. But it's under the same theme as unity. You know, people that are fairly disgusted with the system, and who don't necessarily have to do battle with the existing system because, you know, we can still achieve what we want, hopefully. Without having to get entangled in all of that. So it's an interesting idea whose time has come. The question is how do we get it all flushed out and, you know, put it into action and find the right leaders to carry it, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's not a small task.
Right.
Now,
From what I
saw, and I saw a lot of familiar faces in that crowd, whereas other times I saw those same faces giving stare downs. I was pretty surprised. I was glad. That's what I've been talking about for years. If we could all come together just for one common thing where everybody joins together. Just imagine the power we have.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you observe the crowd and some of the video clips that were taken, you'll see a very diverse group. And, of course, we'll have the old-timers out there, you know, who, you know, sort of paved the way many, many years ago on effective political rallies. But you also see a lot of new folks, right, who've never been to a political rally before. We see a lot of racial diversity and bike diversity between sport bikes and custom bikes and V-twin American-made motorcycle metrics. There was a lot of different folks up there, and that really, to me, wasn't necessarily surprising, but it was the situation where I felt the best because we're able to at least get the message out across lines in a lot of different areas, and that's, you know, a step in the right direction, and it's absolutely required in the notion of unity.
Exactly. And more people need to understand what that word means. Stacy, what did you have to say?
Yes.
Were you listening? What did you think?
Well, I only caught a little bit of it because I just called here within the last minute or so. And I got the tail end about, I believe it was the event you guys went to over the weekend. That's
uh-huh.
What you guys were talking about, correct? And
correct.
Everything I seen on social media, Facebook, et cetera, I was amazed because it just looked like everything ran smoothly, and I seen one of the speeches, one you left on my page, Phil, and that was indeed very well worded and expressed, and I agree with the unity because when you have unity, you know, strength comes in numbers, providing everybody's on the same playing field. And it'd be nice to keep the unity, whether you ride a Holley or a crotch rocket or a scooter or whatever it is you do, because, I mean, that goes along with what you say. It doesn't matter what you ride as long as you ride. And what happens over there on the the West Coast with you guys happens on the East Coast, and I have to kill this phone conversation because I got an important phone call coming. Call you guys right back.
All right. Okay. Lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. But Bobby, how are we doing with is it Senator Beal?
Okay, so quite frankly, nothing has changed since, you know, the last show. And the bill, SB 350, is still there. Now, the thing people have to understand also, who, you know, in as part of the political process, every bill that goes out to committee, you know, it takes a lot of time, energy, and even money to get it there. Okay, so a lot, more often than not, politicians who present a bill and then in turn, you know, decide, hey, they're not going to move it forward, will continue to leave it there to allow their party the option to use it as what they call a slip bill, meaning that, you know, it starts off one way with a certain title and a certain intent, and then it gets completely transformed to be another bill but carries the same number, in this case for a Senate bill. So, and he's mentioned this to me directly during our face-to-face meeting. However, of course, you know, we'd like to see it completely eradicated, taken off, because that, you know, that it's just a certain way to say it's gone when the entire bill, including the number, is off the table. But, you know, it is a method of, you know, passing a bill that's already in place to his to the Senate, allow somebody else to use it. So the question then becomes, is somebody going to use it, or will it in fact die in the latter part of this month? So that's going to be the question. I can't remember the exact date, but I know it's January 20-something. If the bill isn't moved forward in its current or in its current form or a new, through a new bill, then it will in fact die.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I heard some stuff about bills like that where they yeah, it starts out one way and then they start throwing all the add-ons on.
Well, I think there's a, there are other types of bill. Now, that what I use the example of is what's normally called a slip bill. But there are like gut bills also where they may, within the framework of an existing bill, like as for an example, a transportation or a budget bill, they may insert some language that pertain to changing some type of vehicle code or whatever, or even penal code, in the middle of a document, in the middle of a bill that you wouldn't even assume is even related. It's another method for them to tie money to a specific bill to a certain committee and get some legislation passed. No, not very much fanfare, not very much ability for the public to even react. It just sort of happens in committee and gets voted on, and boom, there you have it. You know, so that's the stuff we have to be very diligent, and to looking out for.
Yeah, it's kind of like Eunice has got that pedophile bill in Massachusetts that's dormant for a while. When the guy, they invited her down to do everything, and they, you know, they did the dog and pony show, and then after that, we never heard another word about it. But he keeps telling her that they're pressing. You know, we've heard that. We've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
So did
so I have
did
a, I have a. I have a colleague, sort of a counterpart of mine, in from Arizona. She's originally from Northern California, but they're also working on a similar anti-profiling bill there. In fact, they had it actually secured by or carried by an author last year, and it got to committee but was voted down. But they're trying again to bring it back along with handlebar height type of changes as well. So. It seems that, you know, there are a number of states besides California. I'm hoping others will join the fight as well on their own statewide profiling initiatives.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I saw something like that. I'm trying to think of her name, but it's the only way. It's the only way.
Thing Grover.
I'm sorry. The name again was what? Just like trying to find out when you tell me what the reaction was when you saw what was it, over 5,000. I heard, is that correct, Bobby? I lost him.
I think you lost him. That's odd.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why.
I don't either.
Okay, there he is. Yeah, I lost you there for a minute. Bobby? Lost him again. Let me see if I can get it back.
Hi, this is Robert Caballo, and you've reached my bullet answering service. I'm sorry I missed your call, but if you leave...
That's odd. Because he went to say something, and all of a sudden, poof, he was gone.
There for a minute, Bobby. Are you back? Robert?
I'm sorry. I'm having difficulty with my phone connection, so I may be dropping off here.
Okay. But yeah, it's the same thing. If we can get a run on these unification rallies across the United States, it would be a very good thing. When you saw what was your reaction when you saw?
Well,
was close.
Here's something you might be interested in. There is some discussion, although discussions about holding another rally, Southern California, and within social media, yeah, there have been discussions also about hey, keep this thing going. It shouldn't just stop. Now this was a big one, and a symbolic one that occurs in this capital, which I happen to feel is the right thing. First one of the year, try to bring as many people together collectively across the state, try to unify on, you know, the ideas and principles and sort of objectives we're trying to achieve through the year. And then that sort of carries down to each of the COCs. Again, this is sort of a grassroots thing, and when you look at all of the riders throughout the country, obviously the ones that are, you know, the riders that are within Motorcycle Clowns are, you know, viewed as by many as, you know, the real riders, right? But we need to at least try to keep that going among each of the Confederation of Clubs of California. So my idea was thinking maybe, you know, each COC has a thing. It could be, it doesn't have to be as big as what we had in Sacramento, but have some type of rally or some type of get-together, you know, and talk about, you know, some of the high-level issues that affect all of us, but also address some of the issues in their particular areas, you know, within their frame of their counties, their townships and stuff, and bring everybody and educate people and keep people together. So, you know, there's an opportunity here to keep this thing going and go up and down the state several times throughout the year and work together. And I think that's the underlying principle we're just looking for. We simply cannot just leave it to one rally and then just have a feel-good session and walk away, and then there's nothing to keep the momentum going.
Exactly. So that the discussions are there, but do... Do we have committed people, or how can we people commit?
Well, this is it's still early, and so I guess it's incumbent on people like myself to reach out and start that dialogue, okay? Because it's a commitment, right, for any organization, grassroots or not, to say, okay, we'll take on the burden of sponsoring and organizing a rally, and of course they have to shoulder the burden of the costs on what it would take to do such a thing. So it's something that has to be discussed, but I feel it can't be one that should languish for months on end. We got to, you know, I got the sense everybody was sort of on the same page, and so I'm hopefully they'll be a little bit more motivated to be serious about, taking on these type of events as a means to, you know, moving down the road.
Have they checked out a location yet or anything? Or any idea of where Central South?
Well, I can tell you, this is a guess right now. Again, it's just preliminary. It's just sort of hearsay. It's rumor, whatever you want to call it. But it's my understanding that conversations are maybe talking about the Los Angeles County area for the next, probably in spring.
Nice.
That would be my guess. Yep. And here's another thing also that I learned from going to the Abate of California meeting also in Sacramento this last weekend. Because, again, rallies have historically always been held at the Capitol, right? There's some notion, and I think the direction that at least Abate of California is taking the rallies down to the districts or the seats where the majority leaders are. So basically taking it to the bigwig's doorstep. In this case, it's going to be San Diego, and we are talking about the May timeframe. So I can tell you that there will be some organized event going on in San Diego in the May time frame.
And what kind of location are they looking for?
I have no idea. Again, it was, there are
there's
no specifics on it yet.
There's a big park on Mission Bay.
And I'm sure there'll be scouting. I'm sure there'll be some scouting runs down there to determine the right thing. Obviously, cost is going to be an issue. So, as we go along, you know, anybody come forward with some a good lead on good locations, I'm sure Abate will be very receptive to that.
Could even have it at the veterans at the cross on Mount Soledad.
That's a good spot.
That would be a very good spot.
From
Mount Soledad, that's actually a park also.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was something being said that they wanted to take the cross out of Mount Soledad.
Going to happen.
Is that a rumor?
Never going to happen. They've been trying to do it since I've been in California. Never going to happen.
That's what I was going to say. That's been the topic of controversy now for some time.
Yeah. I didn't know about past. I just saw it.
They did the same thing. They did the same thing on Pendleton. They got each battalion has their own little spot with a cross and mementos of the people that were killed in Iraq or Afghanistan. And they tried to do the same thing there, and it never happened.
Yeah. But I think the key thing for consideration here is the fact that it's necessary anymore to get noticed by politicians, the media come, whether the rally takes place at the Capitol or whether it takes place while the politicians are there during the week. Effectively show that, hey, we can get more people out on a weekend, you know, being about ourselves, and still have a lot of and fairly good media coverage with not a lot of work done in that area, and be noticed. So I think it's a good start. Again, you can't continue to do things that don't work. You have to think a little bit outside of the box. You got to, you know, broaden the efforts, and you know, whether they're successful or not, you got to keep trying new things. Can't, so you don't achieve, you know, keep getting the same old tired results.
Exactly. I mean, I got a video right here of Steve Fox, and he had some pretty good comments. Let's see if I can cue this up here, and we'll let Steve talk.
Yeah, just don't cue my speech up. As I told everybody as I was coming out, I said normally they save the best for last, but because time is running short and I drew the short straw, I had to clear the ground.
Yeah, just have a little. There we go.
This is a unification rally. Everybody to come together. Next, we want to introduce Steve Fox from rural Napa Solano County. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's very, very important that we not only do this today, but maybe again next year. A suggestion came to me about having a dunk tank, and whatever politician screws with us between now and next unification rally, we seem to volunteer for that dunk tank, or we'll get a cardboard cutout and put them in that dunk tank to send them a clear-cut message we're not taking it anymore. Now, who put these politicians in the office? Everybody that voted.
Or didn't vote.
We have to make sure that they are going to stick up for bikers before we vote for them. I'm talking about the candidates that are going to run for the positions that are in hand right now, or the incumbents that are going to run again. We have to register to vote. We have to vote. And I'm talking city council all the way to the person that runs this building right here. We have to start at city council and work up. These laws that they're attacking us with get set in California and it goes east. If we don't stop it here, it's going to be a disease. Now, you realize on that flyer it says if you have a throttle in your right hand, that is everybody from Vespas up to trikes with a V8 engine in it. And as if you look around tonight or today, when we first started this rally, those motorcycles go all the way to the bridge now. We're all the way around the Capitol and down to the bridge. This is absolutely the best turnout we've ever had at the motorcycle rides, and it's going to get better. When you go home and your neighbor didn't show up, slap him. Thank you very much, and make sure you know who you vote for. Okay, thank you, Fox. Go ahead.
Couldn't say any better than that.
True enough.
So, I got a lot of ideas running in my head. Where,
oh my God, I can smell the smoke.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, oh, who let the hamster out of the cage? Wait, those wheels are turning fast.
Right, maybe the light bulb broke.
No, what I'm thinking is, I'm gonna set up the blog page, and I'm going to open up a certain area for comments, and I'm going to send a challenge in there to stand up. It's like he said, if you got a throttle in your right hand, and like I always say, I don't care what you ride, it's as long as you ride. If we can get everybody under that blanket, man, we'd be a force to be reckoned with. There's, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 1.2 or 1.3 million motorcycles in California, Bobby?
Lost them again.
Yeah.
Approximately 1.2, 1.3.
Right in there, right in the ballpark. Man, just if we could get... I can't even fathom getting that many bikers in one area.
I can't
even fathom.
Even
if we got 2 or 3%.
Yeah, exactly.
That went to the capital. Right?
Right.
See, nothing that large ever happens over here where I'm at. I've always got to watch it, like, on the web to see what you guys are doing. And I don't know if it's because California is predominantly warm all year round, where there, you know, is a larger congestion of people who ride, or California is just very strict. And I'm not sure, but, like, where I sit, every run has a meaning behind it. You know, when people who ride gather, there's one sole purpose behind it. But, like, the big runs like you guys do out in California and stuff, I get to see that over here in my little neck of the woods.
Well, it's like I always say, if we can, you know, like, I don't know if you guys remember the story about the little kid. His house is about 12 miles from mine on the coast. And they had, you know, the caregiver for this young man, the nurse, and he put out a challenge. And he thought he'd maybe get 200 or 300 bikers. It was over 5,000 rode by this kid's house. They made him they gave him a vest, came out, made his day. All he wanted to do was just watch a bunch of bikers ride, because he was so excited that this guy that was his caregiver rode a motorcycle, and it made that kid's day. If we can get this, like I'm saying, if we can get everybody to do that, man. 011-614, is this my caller
yes.
from Australia?
Yes, it is.
Hey,
it's
Robert, hold on 1 second. Robert, this guy, he's in Australia. So like we always say, whatever happens in Australia goes to Canada and comes here. And my understanding is this gentleman has a story about what happened to him, but what I'd like to do is if he would introduce himself, and then we'll go from there.
Sweet.
Yeah, hey, John. My name's Dan. I'm from Australia, Melbourne. And, I've been hanging around different MCs for a while now, over 20 years. I haven't been the perfect person as such. I spent a bit of time incarcerated many years ago and learned from your lessons. And paid my dues to society. And I was riding more motorcycle down the street, Harley Davidson, brand new Springer. And I get pulled over by the police under these new VLAD laws they've got here, which is now moving into Victoria as well. The police car was three cars ahead of me. I proceeded to do a U-turn to turn into the gas station. They turned. I thought, oh, yeah, they're going straight ahead. I filled my bike up. They parked behind in the driveway. I went in and paid for the fuel, came back out, went to put my helmet on. They drove up beside me. He said, take your helmet off, buddy. Took my helmet off. Said, oh, have you got your ID on you? I said, yeah, no worries. Put my ID out. They then proceeded to strip search me and in full public.
Did he tell you why they pulled you over or no?
No, nothing at all. They just pulled up beside me. They knew who I was straight away. Obviously, they've done their rego checks. And then he says to me, is it your bike, mate? And is it brand new? I said, well, fuck. I said, I just stole it, mate. What do you reckon? Of course it's mine. I said, like, are you for real? You've done your police checks. Well, you know it's my bike. You know it's brand new. Well, what's the problem here? they just said, oh, we're just conducting an investigation. I said, well, what's the investigation about? I then proceeded to strip search me, down to my jocks. I put my clothes back on. They found nothing. Then they undone my suit and my vice, and they were looking for weapons. I said, you got to be joking. They then photographed me, took my license, held it down beside my number plate, photographed that, and then said, okay, then we'll see you later. And then I was let free. But the intimidation factor, that's right. You know, it's just a joke. I mean, what, three police officers, big burly blokes, jumped out for me, give me a hard time. They follow me all the time. You just can't do anything. I mean, look, it's even worse in Queensland. You get caught riding with more than two people and automatically you're doing 6 months inside. No bail. And you're on 23-hour lockdown. Let out for an hour a day for exercise. You know? And that's just for my own association. I also have full-sleeve tattoos. I can't enter a hotel or pub establishment without my tattoos being classed as and deemed intimidating and being an associate of a motorcycle club. I can also spend 6 months inside just for being in the establishment. And then if you commit an offence, you will get the maximum serve on that, so I can face up to 25 years in jail just for being in a pub or in a bar fight.
Wow.
So, you know, where's it stopped? You know, well, people are starting to kick up about it. It even extends to the greater public now. I don't know if you guys have read up too much about it, but now they're saying if you hold a venue in, say, a community hall, a private function, and it's classed as three or more people gathering and they have a criminal conviction, they can deem that as an association. They can then come in and arrest the person who has put the function on. They can spend 6 months inside, and then the other people will get disembursed, and any other associates that have criminal convictions will get arrested as well.
Wow.
I mean, I just got, just the other day, on Monday, the harassment doesn't stop. Last year I got raided here at my personal residence four times in 1 month, and they turned up nothing each time. First I was accused for an armed robbery, which I had priors for, which I haven't been in trouble with the law for over 6 or 7 years. And they said to me, you did an armed robbery on a person at an ATM. I said, come on, you've got to be joking. I said, you're fucking grasping at straws here. I said, I'll look after an elderly mother and my niece and nephew. I said, this is a joke. So I'm talking six police cars, unmarked detectives, all storm through like stormtroopers, held me down at gunpoint, handcuffed, threw me on the ground, searched the house, found two replica firearms. I got charged with being in possession of firearms offences. I put my hand up to that. I didn't know that, but they weren't illegal here in Victoria, as they're legal in Queensland. So I said, okay, fair enough, you got me. I put my hand up to it. I said, but I'm not putting my hand up to an armed robbery that I didn't commit. This is bullshit.
Right.
I have full-sleeve tattoos. I said, tell me something about this person. You know, what happened? The detectives then turned around and said, well, the guy had a T-shirt on, walked up, produced a handgun, said, give me $100. Well, please, if I go to this same shopping centre three times a day, people know me on a first name basis. You know, you don't sit in your own backyard for one. You know, what? And I don't need the money. I mean, I just bought a brand new Harley Davidson, for Christ's sake. When my legal team represented me, it went as far as to court, and I was on conditions of bail. I wasn't allowed to leave my home. I had to report three times a week to the police station, the local police station. This dragged on for 6 months. And my legal team of barristers and QCs turned around and said to the witness, are you aware of the term full sleeves tattoos? He said, yes, I am. He said, okay. He said, no worries. He said, you were in fear for your life, weren't you? And this bloke said, yeah, he was. Which you can imagine, if you were robbed at arm point, you would be in fear for your life. But then this goose decides to go looking for the person who'd been robbed. Now, if you're in fear for your life, what are you going driving around looking for somebody with a gun? Well, it doesn't make sense. They were just trying to brick me up. So we go to court, you know. Then the police officers show the witness. He was only 50% sure it was me in the photo lineup. Mm-hmm. Then the police officers at court proceed to show him a photograph of me on their telephone and saying, that is him, isn't it? And my barrister was standing right beside it. And they said, they can't do this. And then they brought up my criminal history to him. So my barrister said, look, this is a load of shit. We're going back into court. Went back into court, said, look, Your Honour, we want all charges dropped, or otherwise we want the police officer's job. This is misconduct, you know. They're just trying to frame my client, all the rest of it. He said, you've got 10 minutes to sort this shit out, or otherwise we're going ahead with proceedings and we're going to have a police officer's job. While they were running around like headless chooks. Come back in, the court was adjourned, and then we come back in. They dropped the charges, but the harassment's still there. Just the other day, me and a few boys went up to the town and we're having lunch and we're followed by a task force. I'm not sure if we'll photograph, I'm pretty sure we were, but the police, undercover police officers, made it pretty plain and obvious. They walked past us, then they were on the phone, wrote the registration down, and then from there, we decided to get back in the car and drive home, as we did. We were followed all the way home by an unmarked Ford Territory police car. You know, so it just doesn't stop. But, you know, if it's happening here, it's going to happen over there with you guys. And they're trying to bring in this new RICO law that you guys have got over there to here. Now they have a new task force on top of the old task force with the federal police, taxation department, state police, and everyone else. So if you can't prove you are working or how you're paying for your bike or car or your home, they're then going to take it off you and it's going to be classed as proceeds of crime and all assets will be forfeited and given to the Crown. So I'll just make warning.
Well, yeah, I heard that some people were saying that this they arrest you and then your family, who depends on you for the upkeep, the buying the food, groceries, putting the roof over their head, everything, yep. And all of a sudden that stops.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then I heard they went back and arrested the wife for being an associate also. So now the kids go
That's
to.
Correct.
It's crazy, but it's like I tell everybody, and there goes to Canada, and then comes here. And we got a couple of clowns in California that say they're helping them from ATF with those laws. So that's probably where Cuccione is showing them the RICO laws.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, they've brought out laws here now. Any fortifications on clubhouses have to be taken down, cameras taken down, insignia taken down within 7 days or otherwise. They will be forfeited to the Crown as well. So it just doesn't stop. You know what? There was even one, I won't mention the club name, but there was one club in Victoria that took 700 police and an army tank. They ripped the gates clean off in the middle of the road, a clubhouse all day, found nothing, and made three arrests on old warrants, which that's what they got me again for on Monday. I was in prison in 2006 in Queensland, and apparently in 2005 I breached an order, so they issued a warrant, four warrants for my arrest. Why didn't they take that up in 2006 when I was in custody for 5.5 years and act on it then? No, they let it go, and then come Monday, I get arrested by 3 carload of coppers coming to my house, hold me in the cells all day, deny me a bail, and want me to do 185 days in prison. And I said, keep going with this. I said, and I'm starting to sue Victoria Police. I'm over this shit. You know, this is just harassment. I get fired everywhere. You know that, Sam. And you know, when I was in the holding cell, you can see the detectives all dressed up, walk past the cells and then walk back past again. You know they're with the task force. So they know it, you know, and they turn around saying, yeah, that's him. Hang on to him. You know, and then my solicitor, they wouldn't get me my barrister, so they give me legal aid, which is like the court-appointed legal representation that I suppose you guys got over there. And she says to me, no, you're not getting out. They're not even going to give you bail until Friday. I said, bullshit to this. You get in touch with my barristers, and you sort this shit out now. They had wrong dates. They had wrong everything.
Wow.
It's just insane. It really is. It's just getting out of control. Like, there was an incident just last week in Queensland where a bloke got pulled up in a service station, gas station. 10 police cars. I think people might have seen it. Been posted on Facebook and social media, you know, and all he was doing was getting fuel, and he got harassed too, but he was luckily enough, he videoed it. I didn't get the chance to do that. They took my phone off me and held it as evidence.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question about that. So you have to tell him you're gonna record him, or you can just record him?
You can record it. That's your given right to record them. And they
over
they
here,
turn
over here,
they can ask
you to stop. Yeah, they can ask you to stop, and then if you say no, that's when the shit hits the fan, or what?
Yeah, basically, well, they're already shitty with you anyway. But if you know the law, which most people do, you can say no. I'm protecting myself here, and I want to know your full name, rank, and serial number. And this has been recorded as evidence, so I don't get harassed. And everything's just. And then they turn around and they tell you, take it out of my face. I'm worried for my safety. Come on. You're carrying a 9mm Glock on your hip. Well, are you for real? We aren't armed. You know, nobody gets to carry a weapon out of here. Oh, another classic example, many years ago, I was a union organiser. And I was a safety officer as well. So part of my job, being safety officer, I used to carry a pocket knife on me on the building sites. Now, if the boys were in trouble when they're in a harness, I would cut the harness off them and free them, of course, as you would. Now, as soon as I got into my vehicle, I took the pocket knife off, put it in the console. I got pulled over on the way home from work for speeding. I bought the ticket for speeding. Then they asked to search my vehicle. Did I have anything in there? I said, no. I have a pocket knife I carry for work. That's in the centre console. Well, they then charged me with a concealed weapon when I first told them about it. How does that work? And it wasn't a blade over 6 inches long. You can't even carry a pocket knife on you.
Yeah, I had that happen to me. But it was kind of hard to convince them that 10-inch knife on my hanging on my side was for work. But,
well, I don't know what it is now, but they did years ago bring out a law. You're allowed to carry a pocket knife on you as long as the blade wasn't over 6 inches. Now, my blade wasn't over 6 inches, and I still got charged with it.
Yeah, it's over here, it's I think it's three inches. Depends. Each town sets their own thing. Some follow the state law, and some follow their own laws. But it's. I did a lot of research on that, and the knife laws in California as well as the United States are on the blog. But I'm just worried that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm worried, like, for you guys, too, over there, you know. If this shit passes here, I mean, Campbell Newman is now, he's the Premier of Queensland. He's backfolded now. He's on the back foot, and he's saying, oh, in 2016, these laws will be gone because we've driven out the bikies. The only reason he's backpedaling is because, you know, he's going to get arsehole on the next election, and people are jacking up about it, even normal people. I mean, there's a classic story just before Christmas, a Christian motorcycle club, 700 members, and other, not just their members, but other riders, did a toy run. Now, there was a Queensland police roadblock set up for them. They did everything by the book. They said it was a Christian toy run. They did everything that they were asked to do. They still got pulled over. They all got detained, and the kids never got the Christmas presents. Now, how do you explain to over 700 kids that are sitting at the end finish line waiting for their toys that never came?
Uh-huh.
It's just a joke, you know? And now people are starting to really see it for what it's worth. You know, you cannot walk into a hotel with hand, face, or neck tattoos, you'll be asked to leave. So, you cannot wear any club memorabilia t-shirts, support t-shirts, jumpers, anything like that.
Yeah, over here,
club.
Over here, a bumper sticker's probable cause now.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah, they'll still do that here for sure.
Sorry?
I mean, it's just getting out of hand now, you know. And people are seeing it for what it's worth, you know. And yeah, I mean, they've even hit me with these stupid bail conditions again as of Monday after holding me in the cells for 8 hours on old warrants. I now have to go and report twice a week and reside at my home address. Of course I reside there. But now I have to report to the local police station twice a week. Now, you know, they had me years ago. Why didn't they act on this years ago?
Right.
So that was my argument to them. And even the judge said, this is a joke. You know, corrections were turned around saying, we want him locked up. And the judge said, well, hang on a minute. How can he be a fail to appear when he was at court? This is mismanagement. So I've got a good case of getting it dropped, you know. And now I've said to them, look, I went down and reported today, actually. I'm not even on the system. So, you know, that's how incompetent they are. I go down there and report. I made sure I had a witness with me. I took the police officer's name, badge number, and I made sure he wrote down what time, and I photoed it, but the exact time when I was in the police station to cover my ass, because then they'll say, oh, no, he didn't report, and they'll come and arrest me.
Right. Robert, did you have any questions
for
Robert? Robert?
What?
I was looking for Robert, but I'm not sure if I still got him. But, Nora, did you have any questions? Go ahead.
Well, because of the experiences that you have encountered over there, do you feel that in time things may change for the better, or
no.
Do you think that it's going to get worse?
I believe it's going to get a lot worse. The only thing we can hope for that the greater community wakes up to it and they then turn around, which they are starting to do, and, you know, these people that are in power, get them out of power. Now, there's already been politicians turn around and say, if I'm elected, all these laws will be scrapped. So, you know, we can only hope for that. So, but, you know, there was a thing on TV just the other day, and it's been posted on social media, about corrupt Queensland police, how they fabricated search warrants. They would drive through car parks, write down registration numbers, find out the details of people, then go and execute a search warrant under probable cause because they said they had an alleged tip-off. Now, they did that, if you watch the whole video, they did that because they had to get their numbers up for search warrants and crap like that. Like, where does this shit stop? You know? And if you are known to police or do have a criminal history, you're screwed. And
so
it's just going to become worse and worse.
So it doesn't matter what you say, they're still going to profile you anyway.
Oh, big time, yeah. And, I mean, if you do know any 1% Motorcycle Club members and you have a criminal history, you're deemed an associate. And if there's more than three of you together, especially in Queensland, you will be arrested and you will have your bail denied and you will serve 6 months jail. They cleaned out certain jails, like the prison I was in. After I was released, I was condemned. That's how bad a conditions it was. Now, you guys probably know how hot it gets out here. They just reopened that prison up just for bikers.
Yeah, we heard about that. In regards to if you associate and you don't have a record, will they still pull you?
Yep. If you're a known associate, so all you have to be is pulled over the first time with a club member or another associate, you will be then deemed an associate. So then you are already then profiled, and then you're tracked, and then you'll be harassed again. And then you fit under the VLAD laws. You come under them. And that's whether you're female, male, whatever. So, it's pretty scary.
Now, what would they do if, say, it's a single mom? We're going to use this as an example. There's a single mom that associates, okay? And if her children are with and are with a 1%er person, okay? Will they do anything to the children, or is it strictly just to the mother?
Yeah. No. If they're over 17 years of age, they'll be arrested as well. If your brother and I'm talking blood relation, is an associate and you've been to the clubhouse with him or whatever, or your cousin or your uncle or your auntie or your father, you cannot be in the same room as them. That's deemed as association. It is ridiculous. There's a classic story of a bloke in Queensland. His brother-in-law owned a pizza shop. He went and dropped off some pizzas at a hotel. They were members of the motorcycle club. They all got arrested because there was only two of them in there, but when the third person rolled up with the pizzas, they were all arrested and they were now locked up. Now, this person has never owned a motorcycle, never been in trouble with the law, and never been in a 1% club, and now he's doing 6 months behind bars, and he's lost his business, and his family's struggling. They can't pay the bills. They're doing it pretty tough.
Is there any help for families that are facing
nothing
that? Meaning there's no, like, country help, state help, or town help, anything?
Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. There is things on social media now that are popping up, and they're, you know, getting on there saying, you know, look, if we all get behind this, we can help support, you know, the families, and they're writing petitions to governments and stuff like that, but there's no financial support for these people, you know, and it's a shame. You know, the only financial support that used to come in our community would be from other bikers. We all know that. We all look after our own. But you can't do that no more. You know? You just can't do that. They put a stop to it. I mean, this guy's just no different to Hitler or Stalin. He's just brought in his own wars and
right.
Made it his own personal fight.
But isn't his hands kind of dirty?
He's dirty big time. You know?
Yeah.
And, oh, look, I'm not surprised if he's going to get arsehole in the next election now. That's why he's backpedaling and he's scared now, saying about, oh, in 2016, we're going to revoke them all, driven out the bikies. Come on,
right.
Let's face it. Bikers have been around for years.
Right.
You're not going to get rid of bikers. You know?
And well, what are they
we
seem
all know
to be...
It's a safer place with bikers.
I'm sorry. Right.
All
what do they seem
the
is such a problem?
Bikers.
Because you ride, or do they think that, you know, you're just going to commit, or anyone would commit crimes riding a motorcycle? That is pretty difficult to do.
Yeah. Look, there was a couple of incidents in Queensland. There was a shooting in a shopping centre. Then there was another one, MC that had a big punch-up in a restaurant with another MC. Then they rioted back at the police station. And they sort of jacked up from then on and went on the front foot and, you know, hit them pretty hard. But the thing what I don't understand is why not just target that particular club? You know, they're the ones that broke the law. They knew that. You know, go for that particular club. Leave the rest of the people alone, you know. No, they didn't do that. They hit every club. They even went to the Vietnam Veterans Motorcycle Club, who aren't a 1% motorcycle club. They raided their clubhouse, and after they raided it, they turned around and said that we wanted to make sure that you weren't infiltrated by any 1% MCs. Now, come on, you can't justify that.
Right.
You know, these guys are war veterans. You know, they do a lot of good for community. But it just doesn't stop. You know, even attacking Christian MCs? Come on.
Well, yeah.
And all they're doing is preaching the Bible.
That's
yeah,
right. You know, they're not doing no harm to nobody.
If
anything, they help people.
Yeah, they are, but they're, you know, they like over here, you can't use the word poker run anymore. Because okay, what happens is if you have it in a particular town and you have five different towns around and you go to five different bars and then you end up with the last one and the cops show up, they can confiscate all the money.
Oh, what a joke. But do they not understand that 99% of the time the community gets that money?
No. Cops come and
you
they take
what?
It.
Over here we have poker runs and I can guarantee you most of the money, nearly all the money, gets donated to a local charity or hospital. So the MCs
yeah.
don't keep any of it. It's just, you know.
Yeah. No,
it's a joke.
Yeah, it's like over here. It used to be if a club had a run and they had a charity function and then whatever, they had the 50-50.
Yep.
where you won the whole pot, it was customary to always give half back. And they don't do it that much anymore. I won a couple and I never took gave it back to the club, but I just
the thing that annoys me the most is that they're targeting one specific club at the moment and they're hitting them the hardest. You know, why not go after all clubs if this is the case? And now they are slowly doing that just to justify it. But they didn't do that to start off with. Go for the club that started all the trouble. Go for them. No, that particular club throws in their colours and runs and thinks that they're out of it and it's all good because they were in touch with their solicitors. You know, and yeah. But anyway, that's another story.
Right. But, yeah, it just gets crazy. I mean...
The thing is, if it does come in over where you are, Sturgis will be history. The ride to the wall will be history. None of that will happen. Everybody will be arrested.
Well, yeah, let me play this. Let me see if I get a little clip. This is what we had over the weekend on the 11th. And this is a biker unification rally where we had everybody, every heavy hitter club, everybody that's always had bad blood on different circumstances come together on one day to do this. Let me see if I can get this to...
Unfortunately, we have all walks of life that embrace a biker lifestyle, young to old, women and men.
I'm going to start jacking.
We have all walks of life that embrace a biker lifestyle, young to old, women and men, so on and so forth. I'm an overwhelming pride in our culture. I'm a third-generation biker and a second-generation member of my prestigious motorcycle club. By taking lessons from some of the most famous and influential bikers in our history, I have learned to never stop fighting for what we believe in and what we feel is right in our hearts.
Yeah.
I have been a part of the biker rights movement for the last 5 years. I first didn't really care because I figured it didn't affect me. But I am a student of our culture worldwide, and there is a global push to go after motorcyclists in or not even in motorcycle clubs. I have been personally profiled numerous times since I got my first Harley 15 years ago. I was once pulled over by seven cop cars and made show tattoos, videoed, taken off my shirt, humiliated in front of thousands of drivers for 45 minutes on the side of the freeway during rush hour traffic. For what? Because I was stopped in an emergency lane, waiting for a friend? Is this call for harassment I received? I don't think so. But something I learned is, this is what I signed up for. Now when I think of that statement, I think I can either just stand here and let this happen to my friends and family, or others who are in the same boat as me, or I can do my part in making a difference for all. And stop the treatment of profiling like this for everyone. All motorcyclists want to get on their bike and go for a ride, whether it be by themselves or with a group of friends or in a 100-person pack or, hey, a 1,500-person pack like today. There are many laws that are our lifestyle made by people who probably never rode a motorcycle or had to sit in the rain, like today. Let them get on the back of one of our bikes and sit in 100-degree weather without having to split the lane. Then let's see how they think of it afterwards. Then being told what we have to wear when we ride. I'm a grown man, and I think I'm confident enough to decide what I'm wearing while I'm riding my motorcycle. Whether it's safer to wear a bright orange vest or not, it should be the discretion of the rider, not the politicians who care less about motorcycles. It makes me wonder why they come up with these ideas like the bright vest color law. And no disrespect to any of the people that are wearing them, because I can punch out in the crowd. But hey, but that's your personal right, and I that's right on. You know, so.
Yeah, what they want everybody to do here, I don't know if you ever seen those lime green vests.
Yep. Yep, they're trying to do that here too. Yep.
Yeah.
For us and vests, like the workmen wear, they want them to wear, they want motorcycle riders to wear them all the time now. It's not going to happen. Not out here.
No, and I don't think it's going to happen here either.
You know, like, you know, even the little short helmets, the half helmets you guys wear over there, or the German helmets you guys can wear over there. They're
yeah,
the law, can't wear them.
But of course, they have to be DOT approved. But there is no such. The Department of Transportation doesn't certify helmets.
Yeah.
The manufacturer,
they got to be ACCC approved or some shit, and yeah, they won't approve them. So bad luck. What a lot of guys do is take stickers off the back and put them on. But you can do, in all seriousness, if you get online somewhere, I'm not sure what site it is, but you can get them approved in your state through some certain places. I know guys that have got them and have been pulled over, have been charged, taken into court, have fought it and won.
Yeah, I had that same thing happen to me, and I did the same thing. I fought him and won, and now I wear that helmet with pride now because it still has the evidence sticker glued to the top of it. So when they pull me over and ask. They pull me over and ask me if it's a DOT approved helmet, and I just turn it down so they can read the sticker, and they just start laughing and never mind.
Yeah, well that's right now. You know, I get followed in my car all the time. You know, I have a support sticker for a certain club on the back window, and I'm very proud to wear it. And I don't care. Pull me over. Do whatever you want. Do your best. There's nothing you can get me on anymore. You bought up shit from 2005. We're in now 2014. Do your best, and if I have to go back to prison, I'll go back to prison. I don't care. You know, I'll make a stand. And if it's only one voice, well, so be it, you know, but I'm not going out alone. They're not going to stop me from doing what I love best. You know, we don't break
yeah.
the law. All we do is hang out together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's supposed to be a free country. You know, what's free about it? There's nothing. It's becoming a communist country. Now that I have criminal convictions, I can't go to England, Scotland, Ireland, cannot go to the States, cannot go to Hawaii, you know. And now that I'm deemed an associate, I'm probably screwed from a lot of places in Europe as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, where does this stop? How far do they go with it? And now with these new bail conditions I have, they can come through my house any time they want without the search warrant, just to make sure that I'm at home at any time of the day or night. Now, I could be out, but they can still come through and say, does he live here? Oh, we want to check. What's there to check about? Of course I live here.
Yeah, it's kind of funny here because even today I got stopped this morning and I don't think they knew I had this car anyway. The guy walked up to the side and I rolled down the window about 2 inches and I said, "Did I do something wrong?" And he said, "You didn't signal when you changed lanes." I said, "Neither did you." He goes, "Oh, you were watching me in the mirror?" I go, "That's probably why I drifted over." And he said,
yep.
"Yeah, do you have a license, registration, proof of insurance?" I said, "Am I being detained?" He said, "No, I'm just asking if you have a license, registration, and proof of insurance." I said, "Yes, I have that, but am I being detained?" And he said, "No." So he said, "No, I put it in drive and drove away."
Yeah. Well, there's nothing I can do. You know,
no, it's not.
That's what I do now. You know, I told them straight out. One, is there a warrant for my arrest? Two, have I broken the law? And am I getting arrested? And they always come out with smart-ass comments. And, you know, use me full name. Put your hands out the window. open the door from the outside, like, come on, you know, what's this shit about? Okay, you for real or what? And then I start playing up. Then they ask me, what's your name? And I go, well, Fred Astaire, fuck with you, you've got the computer, you work it out. Like, seriously, you know me, name. You punched up me rego, comes up on your computer, you know who I am, you know exactly where I live. What play games? What have I done wrong? Oh, we're just checking. Checking for what? Drugs. Well, look at me record. I've never been done for drugs or taken drugs in my life. But probable cause, you see. They don't need a warrant. They can do that in a vehicle over here. So, yeah. These days, I don't even bother. I just, you know, if they're going to start and they say, no, I'm not getting arrested or there's no warrant, I just jump back in the car, hop back on my bike and take off, you know. Or if I'm on my bike, I just keep going. But there is a number you can call in Australia. I think it's 013. And if an unmarked police car pulls you over, you call a certain number. I'm not quite sure, but it'd be on social media somewhere or Google it. And you can keep driving legally with the cops chasing you with lights and siren going until you get to a safe what you think is a safe destination. And it doesn't matter how many cop cars are there. You can keep going. As long as you ring this number, give them the registration number, and they say, well, you keep going driving to where you're going, and we'll have a marked police car pull up to check, to verify if it is. So that's, you know, a good one for your listeners from Australia to find out about, you know. One, it pisses them off, and two, you just don't know these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who'd be getting hijacked by somebody else.
Yeah. I got some, I want you to listen to this, and this is from a friend of mine. He happens to be a member of one of the most prestigious clubs in the world, but he's also a singer. But he hits it on the nail in the head right here. Check this out.
Cool.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
Yeah, that's one of my friends. His name is... he goes by Mike P, the big homie. But it's right on the head there.
It does, certainly does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't see any light at the end of the tunnel here, to be honest.
No.
You know?
No, it's like we
and,
were
you know,
talking about
especially
earlier.
Especially with these task force.
Well, I know there's only about, 780 to 800,000 motorcycles in all of Australia. And just in the
yes,
state
sir.
Of California, we have 1.2 to 1.3 million registered motorcycles.
Okay.
And we had over 5,000 people show up on Saturday, and it got noticed, and there's plans in the works now to keep the momentum going. But it was a biker unification rally.
I know in Queensland they held a rally against Campbell Newman's VLAD laws, and certain people after that rally finished, were riding home, got pulled over and arrested and hassled and, yeah. Just for attending a rally, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they weren't flying any couples, you know. They were just innocent motorcycle riders. So
yeah,
what I'd
like you, if it's at all possible, maybe you come back on a Tuesday or Thursday each week, you know, one day of the week, and give
absolutely.
Us updates on what's done from down, as we say, boots on the ground.
That's it, yeah, for sure. I can do that for
okay.
you, mate.
All right, perfect.
You take
care.
God bless.
You too. And if you go on the, well, I got the number here. What I'm going to do is I'll write down and see if I can hook up to you on the, like, talk to you on the phone. If not, I'm sure Nora can get you my I'm sure Nora can get you my contact information.
Yes.
Absolutely. And vice versa.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
You too. Bye-bye. Have
a good night. Stay.
Okay, you've been holding on there for a little bit there, Pumpkin. What's going on in your world today? Did you fall asleep on me there, Eunice?
Yeah, I'm here.
I said, what's going on in your world today, Pumpkin? Talk to me.
Oh, nothing much. Talk to Hermes, you know.
Uh-huh.
I guess he's going to do a pre-show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bad. You know. Where's Nara and all the rest? They're not on tonight?
No, I'm here. I'm just not called Pumpkin because you're special and I'm not.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. I didn't realize that, Nara.
No, I called her. I called her one of the cast of characters in the background.
Yeah.
You know, and what does that mean, cast of characters? Are you calling me like an ass?
No, I don't think so. I think he's he thinks the world of you.
No,
you know.
No. I was just being a smarty pants.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Now she's gonna be a smart ass, right?
Yep. That's better than being a dumb shit.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
You are something else. Wow.
Oh, how was your flight home? Or back to Florida?
Huh?
Was it good? Was your flight back home good?
Oh, no, please. Don't even say that. We got canceled Friday. I was supposed to come out on a Friday. Of course, we had 4 snowstorms, and I was only there 3 weeks.
Right.
Jesus. When I was up in Massachusetts.
I know.
I mean, it was terrible. But I finally get out Monday after getting up at 3 o'clock Monday morning. My husband's friend got won the mayor of Boston, so he had to go to the I can never say that word right, the same day I was leaving. So I had to drop him off at the train station. You know, he had a great time.
Right.
We were supposed to leave at 10 minutes to 2 in the afternoon, and they canceled it 4 times. So we finally get out of there like 6:30. But I'll tell you, Nora, it was the worst flight I've ever had. We couldn't even have coffee. It was down and sideways. And I got off that plane, my stomach was so sick. Oh, my God. You know, and it took us 4 hours to get here. And now I'm overtired, so I didn't get to sleep until like 3 in the morning, you know. So it was like a 24-hour being up. But it's good to be back down here. We had cold weather when I got here. When I say cold, it's, you know, it was in the lower 50s, you know, during the daytime. So you had to wear a jacket. Or a sweatshirt. I wore a sweatshirt. So now it's going to go back into another cold mold, you know.
I'm not laughing at you. I just find it funny.
I know.
Because,
it's a
you know,
kind
your
of cold
is our, would be my shorts and T-shirt and stuff, you know. It's like, oh.
Well, I don't know. You know, it was 81 and sunny. Clear skies, nice breeze off the ocean, but I had to break out of Pendleton when I left this morning. It was a little chilly.
Yeah.
It's
a different kind of cold, though, when it when it gets into your bones there, it gets into your bones, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's what we've had here. But, you know, Phil was so wonderful today. He sent me a text to let me know how his weather was, you know. And
mm-hmm.
my response was, you suck. Because, you know, we had a couple of days where it was 40s, and then we were just close to 50 yesterday. And now we're back cold and supposed to get snow. And as long as we don't get negative 48, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So what's new with the baby, Phil?
Getting big. I'm going to have a little boy here probably end of August, early September.
Oh,
great.
Found that out a week ago Friday.
Oh, Grandpa, she's going to really have you being a great grandpa.
Yeah.
That's
well,
good, though.
You know, I'm kind of, yeah, because I got the chance that my father didn't get. He got to see, I'll get to see my grandkids.
Yeah, that'd be great, yeah. Well, I guess I have to stop making something else, huh?
I don't know. Let's see what happens first.
Well, that's, you know, a long way off. I didn't say I was going to go into it right now. You know, I just said I have to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
So. But I feel good. You know, I think I told you guys I had a clean bill of health except from the hot doctor. So he'll check me all out when I get back there. But everything else is looks good. So
good.
And I feel healthy, and I feel good, so.
That's all that counts.
Yeah, I know. I know. A big difference from last summer, let me tell you. Big difference.
I know.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you guys, I really didn't think I was going to make it, honest to God.
I know.
That's how,
I was worried.
That's how bad. Yeah, that's how bad I felt, you know.
And that's why I wish you, like, live closer to me, because I'd make sure you were taken care of.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
How's Bill doing?
Bill's holding his own, and he's doing the best he can with what he's got to deal with. He got a full plate without going into too much detail. He's got a full plate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. That's it's a hard thing to you know, deal with. It really is. But a lot of prayers are with him, so that's the main thing, you know.
Yeah, and it does help because, you know, like with my grandson, so many people prayed that didn't even believe in God. You have no idea, yeah, the power of
it. Oh, yeah, the power of prayer is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, let me tell you, big thing. Oh, God. Who was that? Where was that fella from, Phil, who you were talking
Australia.
To with that?
Oh,
Australia. Okay, because he really had an accent, you know.
They do down there.
I love
That's
listening
why they
to
call
him.
It.
Yeah. I really loved listening to him. I just loved listening to the way he was talking.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him talking to me like that every day? That gives me goose pimples. You know, oh, my God. Didn't understand them, but it sounded good.
Well, you know, the show's archived for your Saturday night.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said the show's archived, so you can check it out on Saturday night.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, you can always go back and re-listen to it and, you know, get
wow.
those goosebumps all over and, you know, tell your husband it's Saturday night special time.
Oh, he'd love that, let me tell you. He would love that.
Yeah.
Well, that's 'cause my name's Philip. I'm here to help.
Yep.
So Hermes says he's going to really start. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Hermes said what?
I said Hermes says he was going to start them up by the middle of February, I guess, the shows.
February 5th is the date.
Okay, he'll come back on. Okay.
That's
good. He'll be back on
February 5th. What would that day be that he'll have?
Right now, I think it's Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. But he's on later. He's not on at the same time.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, like I said, I talked to him briefly today.
Uh-huh.
I think he called me last week, and I said, I can't talk because I'm out to lunch. You know?
Uh-huh.
He said, you know that. But I actually was out to lunch with a friend of mine, and then he called yesterday, and I was out to lunch again. So I said to him, I'll have to call you back. You know, I'm out to lunch, having lunch. Jesus Christ. He says, all you do is have lunch? I said, I guess so.
Yeah, you should have said if it wasn't Howard, actually, you would have bought him lunch.
Pardon?
I said you should have told him if he wasn't hollering, you'd have bought him lunch.
Yeah, I know. He's too much. you go down to Florida, I got to stay up here. I says, well, that's your choice, you know.
I sent him that same text today, and he said, yeah, same weather, the same here. I don't think so. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
He's a beauty. He certainly is. I love him dearly. So, well, guys, I'm going to let you go. It's past my bedtime.
All right.
It's on Thursday night.
Sure, yeah. I'm waiting for someone to confirm that they're going to be here.
Oh, okay. All righty. I'll see you in my dreams.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Right.
Night,
bye.
Nara.
Bye-bye.
Night.
All right. On that note, I think I'm just going to play a Mike P song, and I'll call it an evening, Nora.
Real quick, are we on for tomorrow, do you know?
Huh? Yeah, but
okay.
I'm also waiting because... that person I was talking about has to make sure something's right because he'll be on his bike at that time. So he's trying to arrange.
Okay.
He's trying to arrange his schedule.
Okay.
Okay. And then I got an email and a notice from Dayton Kelly, and I have to do a couple things and talk to him, and we'll see if I can have him for next week or the week after.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
Well, on that note,
you have a good night. And we will talk tomorrow. And thank you for a great show.
Oh, no worries. Talk to you later.
Okay. Night.
Bye-bye.